Matthew 24 is a chapter that describes a lot of the things that will be happening just before the Lord comes. Many of the signs and the evidences of the Lord's coming are revealed there in the Gospel of Matthew. One verse is Matthew 24 and verse 12. Matthew 24 and verse 12. It says, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. It's interesting that the verb there, it's really originally describing the breathing or a blowing, like something that is blowing out the fire. Something, and it's describing here iniquity, lawlessness, a running away from the truth. That it's like a wind that is chilling the situation and it's blowing out the fire and the wind of the Spirit of God, of the things of God. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now that is prophesied that would be happening right at a time when all of these things would be fulfilled related to the coming of the Lord. That right in the midst of this time, when if anything should motivate us to want to draw closer to God, it's the fact that we can see all of these evidences in our world of the prophecies being fulfilled and all of these things that are taking place in our world, that should motivate us to draw nearer to the Lord. It should motivate us, instead of cooling off in our spiritual life, there should be a renewing, a fanning of the flame, the fervency of our love for the Lord and fervency of the Spirit should be something that would be stirred up by the things that we see going on around us. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3, it says, "And every man that hath this hope in him," and it's talking about the hope of the soon return of Jesus Christ, "everyone that has this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure." That we look to Christ as the model and the example, and that the fact of Christ's soon return should motivate us to want to purify ourselves, to draw closer to the Lord, to fan the flames of the things of the Spirit in our lives. But instead, what we see in this prophecy is that all these things taking place in the world, and then right in the middle of it is this description of what would happen to some people, that their love would grow cold, that iniquity is abounding, and that iniquity, that lawlessness of the society and of the world that we live in is like a cool wind that is just blowing through and cooling off the spiritual fires in the hearts of people. I don't want to be in that company of people. I would rather be, and I want to be, someone who sees the signs of the coming of the Lord, such as the growth and the expansion of Russia that's happening right now before our eyes, that we should take notice of what's happening around the world and that kind of aggression that's going on in Russia, and recognize that this is all a fulfillment of the prophecies related to Russia's expansion and eventual attack against Israel. We know that the Lord is coming soon. We see all of these things happening in our world. So let it motivate us to get closer to God. Let it motivate us to draw nearer to the Lord. Let it fan the flames of revival in our hearts instead of being cooled off by the things that are going on around us in this world. And if you allow yourself to give too much attention to what's going on around us in this world that's so secular and so anti-Christ, it will have an effect upon your spiritual life. If you get all consumed with yourself and your needs and your problems, rather than your focus upon the things of God, you're going to find yourself cooling off spiritually. And that is a dangerous, dangerous thing. Luke chapter 18 and verse 8, it says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? When Jesus comes, will he find faith? The word there really means, instead of faith in the sense that we think of the word faith, it's a Greek word that means really faithfulness or fidelity. Will he find faithfulness or constancy or loyalty or fidelity in the world? Will he find that level of commitment to Jesus Christ when he comes? Are there going to be those? Well, we know obviously that there is going to be a remnant of people that are constant, loyal, faithful to God, and they have not allowed the fire to go out. Amen. But they're remaining true to the Lord. Yes, he will find faith in the earth, and I hope that he finds faith right here in this company of believers. Among us, you and me, that we are fervent in spirit and that we are revived. Now there should be, and in my heart there is a level of concern, because I'm not blind and you're not blind, but I can see that there are those that are around us that are losing their interest in the things of God. They're losing their interest in the house of God. More and more frequent to not be here. More and more disinterested in spiritual things. It becomes obvious in the hearts and the lives of people. Let me remind you of this. That the heart of every problem is a problem of the heart. Amen. The heart of every problem is a problem of the heart. That's where it begins. Hebrews 3 and 10. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart. That's where it begins. That's where it begins. If you have drawn back, if you have moved away from your commitments to the Lord Jesus Christ, it first began with an attitude of your heart. It started with a heart condition. Where you stand with the Lord, and you do always err, first of all, in your heart. And then, after your heart strays away from the Lord, then everything else will follow. All of your devotion, and all of your commitments, and all of your devotion to the things of God, and your commitments, and your convictions, everything else will follow your heart. If your heart strays away from the Lord, everything else will follow. Amen. The heart of every problem is a problem of your heart. So the problem is only solved by dealing with the issues of the heart. Getting back to that place where you are in right standing with the Lord. Where you recognize that you are in need of help from the Lord. I want to remind you that Timothy was instructed by the Apostle Paul in a time of great discouragement that he was in 2 Timothy chapter 1. He was a young preacher. No doubt he was very discouraged. I'm just going to kind of go through this and paraphrase, but in the first few verses of that chapter, Paul is saying, we're praying for you. I'm praying for you. Night and day, I'm praying for you. And so he was sending him a message of encouragement. He was saying, Timothy, you're young. I'm praying for you. There's never a time that I'm not praying for you. And then another verse he describes, he says, I'm aware of your tears. I know what's going on in your life. I know that you're struggling. And I want you to know that I have prayed for you. I am mindful of your needs. I'm mindful of your tears. And then, in essence, what he said was, I have confidence in you also. He said, because your mother and your grandmother, that they were full of faith, unfeigned faith. And it was first in your mother and your grandmother. And he said, and I'm persuaded that it's in you too. You've got this same level of commitment. And so he encouraged him by saying, I'm praying for you. I know what you're going through. And I've got confidence in you. that God is going to help you. But then he told him that he had a personal responsibility in this. He said, you are going to have to fan the flame. You are going to have to be willing to fan the flames. Don't let the fire go out. You're going to have to purpose in your heart to commit yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. Put yourself in that place that you will not allow yourself to cool off in your spiritual condition. Do you know how quick and how easy it is to cool off spiritually? It does not take long at all. It does not. It can happen so quickly. But on the other hand, I want to encourage you to know that there's great potential in just one little spiritual spark in your life. They've been given all the warnings out there in California with thousands of acres that have burned and homes that have been destroyed by a fire. And they have warned everyone within miles and miles, do not in any way even ignite any kind of a spark. And this is for miles and miles around, because they know that the conditions are right. Everything that all it's going to take is just one little spark and another whole new area of expansion of that fire that's going to be so destructive. One little spark can grow so very quickly. I want you to be encouraged tonight to know that whenever God ignites revival fires in your life, in my life, in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, whenever he sets the fire, whenever he begins ignite the flames of fire in our lives. Brother Darrell, I don't know what happened, but this mic now, we switched microphones and now this one has decided to jump up a few levels of volume. It's all right? It's all right. You need it? Okay, well, it sounds like it's really loud. Well, we need the fire, do we not? The fire of the Spirit of God burning in our hearts. And it doesn't take that much to see the fire grow and expand. The potential when it comes to the move of God is great. The possibilities to see God send revival, it's a wonderful and a mighty thing. Too often we think, oh, it's an overwhelming thing, and we kind of take it upon ourselves to... Well, you know, we need to have a revival. We need to see a move of God. But I want you to know that if you'll just allow God to ignite just a little spark of revival in your own life and fan the flames like the Apostle Paul told Timothy, if you're willing to do that, then I want you to know that there's great potential in your life and what you can do. It only takes a spark, and it might be a child. It might be a young person. It might be an older person, who knows, but all of us here, potentially we can be used of the Lord to see a revival fire begin. But the question tonight is this: are you cooling off? Are you cooling off spiritually? A couple of reasons why that Christians can allow themselves to cool off spiritually. One reason that you might be cooling off is because you've had some sudden or devastating circumstance that's hit you unexpectedly, and you just feel swallowed up by it, overwhelmed by it. And it has just literally doused the flames of faith and confidence in God. I know that can happen. I know that you can get hit with troubles and problems and circumstances that are overwhelming, and that happens. And it may be what has happened in your life if you find yourself cooling off spiritually. Another reason, and really the major reason why most Christians cool off spiritually, is because they just gradually begin to cool off. Just little by little, they cool off. They lose their interest. Just little by little in spiritual things. And before they know it, they have made steps, they have made decisions, they are moving away from their commitment to God, away from their convictions, and they never would have expected to wind up in the condition that they're in. But here you are. Here you are. And it's been a long time since you've sensed and felt the fire of God's presence in your life. It's been a long time since you have been able to pray and really sense the power of God at work in your life. It's been a long time since you've prayed and you've witnessed the hand of God answering prayers in your life. And so you're in this position, this condition of having spiritually cooled off. That can happen to just any Christian, anyone. It can happen to a church that we just gradually make little decision after little decision, thinking it's not really going to matter. It's just a small thing. It's not that big of a deal. But little by little, you begin to move away from the things of God, and you find yourself realizing, I'm so far away from where I used to be. I'm so far away from that commitment and that fervency that I used to enjoy in the things of the Lord. You say, well, I don't know. Maybe I am. Maybe tonight this service can be a warning to you. Maybe a time to alert you, to wake you up to what might be going on in your life, and you're not even thinking about it. You're not even realizing. I'm slipping. I'm cooling off. And I'm moving away from the things of the Lord. There are some evidences that that could be happening in your life. Evidences that you might be cooling off and not even know it. Let's go through a few of these here tonight. One thing is the neglect of the Word of God. Neglecting God's Word. You see, the Word of God is like the wood is to the fire. If you neglect the Bible and neglect the Word of God in your Christian life, it will not be very long until the fire will begin to burn out. Amen. I know we, you know, sing the little children's song, read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. And it's a children's song, but it's just absolutely the truth. Amen. It is the truth. You need to have some time with God's Word. You need to spend some time. Something about the Word of God, hearing the voice of God, it just stirs up your heart. It touches your heart. When you spend time reading it and meditating on the words of God, when you allow God's Word to become alive to you and God speaking to you through the pages of the Scripture, it becomes something that ignites a spiritual fire in your life. Amen. Remember those disciples that were walking on the road to Emmaus with Jesus? They were down. They were discouraged. They were hopeless. They believed that everything that they had hoped for in Jesus Christ, all hope was gone. Jesus joined himself to them. And they didn't recognize him, but he begins to expound to them the Scriptures concerning himself. And as he does, something is going on in them. Later on, they described it this way. Did not our hearts burn within us while he walked with us by the way? And as he expounded to us the Scripture? Have you had that kind of experience? Oh, I've been around church all of my life. And I've had some wonderful times when I heard the teaching of the Word of God or the preaching of the Word of God. And all the time, it just felt like God was just warming my heart. God was just speaking to me. God was doing a work in my heart by the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. I've had some wonderful times when I've just been, you know, with the Lord and alone with the Word of God and just studying a section of Scripture, and the Lord would begin through His Word to speak to me and minister to me and touch my heart and revive me in my spirit, because the Word of God is powerful. It's quick. It's powerful. It's sharp. It's effective. It can change your life. Don't neglect the Bible. Don't neglect the Bible. Get in the Word. Get in the Word of God every day. Take advantage of every opportunity that you have to get in the Word of the Lord. You may be cooling off if you're neglecting the Word of God. You may be cooling off if your prayer life has changed and you're no longer feeling the necessity to hear from God or to wait in the presence of the Lord. Every Christian needs to pray. Amen. Every Christian needs time to call upon the Lord. You need to set aside times. You need to commit yourself to times to wait upon the Lord in prayer. You're to watch and pray. You're to be in prayer often. You're to take advantage of times of prayer, scheduled times to pray. And then you're to have private times of prayer. And you're to be willing to pray whenever the Lord speaks to your heart, or you feel compelled of the Spirit, or that you can be compelled by the need of the situation to pray. You should be a person of prayer who knows how to call upon the Lord. It could be that you're cooling off spiritually because your prayer life is changing. It's obvious that you're cooling off spiritually if your church attendance becomes sporadic. You start making excuses not to go. All kinds of reasons. You know what? For the last probably 6 or 8 weeks, if I would have gone on how I have felt some days, some service times, I would not have been here. And I think many of you that come faithfully to the house of the Lord, you come because you know that it's a valuable and important thing that you do. You're not here out of some ritualistic thing, commitment that I've got to be there 3 times a week. You come out of a necessity and a need. You come because you understand that as the people of God, we encourage one another, we edify one another, we bless one another whenever we come together in the house of the Lord. You're probably cooling off if your church attendance is becoming sporadic. You need to be here. You need to be in the house of the Lord. The church can't be what God has called us to be if all of the church doesn't come together every opportunity that we have. Wednesday night is important. Amen. It's important. You say, well, it's just the way it is in all churches. Sunday morning, big crowd. Sunday night, a little bit less crowd. By Wednesday night, the faithful few. Amen. Doesn't have to be that way. Doesn't have to be that way. Wednesday night could be a revival service. Wednesday night could be a move of God. Wednesday night could be a time when we come in expecting God to light the fires of revival in our hearts as we pray together and as we wait in the presence of God. Mighty things can be accomplished when we come together. If our attitude is, you know, well, it's just it's not all that important. Sunday school is important. Amen. I'm going to get up on my soapbox now and just tell you, Sunday school is valuable and important. It's important. And you need to be in Sunday school. Amen. It's not just about you, but you need to be in Sunday school. You need to be in your Sunday school class. You need to be taking advantage of these times, binding together with other Christians, learning the Word of God, pulling together in these times of study of the Word of God. Amen. Break out of your mold. Break out of the way you've been doing things. And just see if God will not honor you and bless you if you begin to step forward in a new level of commitment and faithfulness to God. Amen. To the Sunday school, to every service, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and every opportunity that you have to gather together with the people of God. You may be cooling off if you begin to give less consistently to the work of God. Amen. Amen. If your heart has been touched, then out of your heart, everything flows. Everything flows. Amen. You say, I don't have a lot to give. It's not about how much you give. It's about your heart that's willing to give. Amen. It's not amounts. It's willingness. Your desire to give. Let me tell you, if you want to give to missions, you can do it. You can do it. If you want to give to the work of God, you can do it. Don't ever convince yourself. Don't let the enemy convince you, I just can't do it. I don't have the means. I don't have the ability. The enemy's convinced you and lied to you. You can. If it's in your heart to give, then you can give. And you can sacrifice. And you can afford to invest in the kingdom of God. As a matter of fact, you cannot afford not to give to the work of the Lord. You might be cooling off if your money is more important to you than the work of the kingdom of God. Another evidence that you might be cooling off is you become defensive of your lifestyle decisions. You get on the defensive. If anyone calls you into question, well, you don't understand. You don't understand what I've got or what I'm dealing with. You don't understand what's happening. You begin to rationalize your compromises. You begin to cool off in your decisions. and become all defensive because of new things that you're doing, new decisions that you're making, and all the while you're cooling off spiritually. Amen. Still with me here tonight? Wide awake? Amen. Oh, how we need fire, the fire of the Holy Spirit. How we need the outpouring of the Spirit of God. Another evidence that you're cooling off is that you've lost your joy. You've lost your joy. There seems to be no expression of praise, no expression of the joy of the Lord in your life. Amen. Amen. As you're following the Lord and serving the Lord, then it's not about an obligation to praise. It's because it's spontaneous that you have this love for God and this commitment to the Lord and this passion to praise God and to worship the Lord, and all worry and all doubt to set aside because the joy of the Lord is taken over in its place. Amen. You're probably cooling off. If you begin to doubt God, you're living in unbelief. You're doubting the promises of God. You're doubting the Word of God. God has worked in the past, but today you're facing things that, and you just can't seem to believe that God can work through it, that He can help you through it, that He can deliver you in it. Oh, but the enemy is trying to convince you that God will not help you. He will help you. Don't allow your circumstances, your trouble, your sickness, or whatever it is that you're dealing with, don't allow that to cool you off and to convince you that God doesn't care. You're cooling off when you're not sensitive to the voice of the Spirit of God, when you're not attentive to the voice of the Spirit. As Pentecostals, we believe in the moving of the Spirit of God. We believe in the working of the Spirit of God among His people. And oh, that every part from the songs and every part of the worship and the altar service, that there's supernatural things that can take place and should be taking place as we're sensitive to the voice of the Lord and to the working and moving of the Holy Spirit. Don't cool off. Fan the flame. Fan the flame. Do whatever is necessary to make sure that the fires of revival are burning in your heart. Why? Well, Jesus is coming really soon. Jesus is coming really soon. And your loved ones and my loved ones, they deserve a people that know how to pray, that know how to experience a move of God and revival. We've got to be red hot, on fire for God to face the challenges of a society and a culture that's so anti-God. It's the only thing that we cannot compete with the pressures of this world in our own power. We must fan the flames of revival. Amen. So how do you recover from it? If you tonight recognize that you are cooling off, you are, and that you don't want to be in this condition, what can you do? Well, that's the first thing you have to do. You have to start with admitting it, recognizing where you are spiritually. Do I measure up to God's word, to God's expectation? Do I measure up to what God has for me? Ask yourself some questions about your experience with the Lord. Has there been times in your spiritual walk when you were closer to God? Have there been times in your walk with the Lord in years gone by that you had a whole different level of sensitivity to the Spirit and to the things of the Spirit of God? How long has it been since you sensed His presence and His anointing resting upon your life? How long has it been? Well, no doubt too long. Recognize that. Amen. Miss it. Miss it. Long for it. Long for that touch of God in your life. I was thinking about this, that I can remember, of course I was a lot younger then, but I can remember the years I was in Sand Springs. I can remember preaching until my whole right side would hurt. I preached so hard that I would I don't know if I pulled something or what, but I just got into it big time. And now I'm old, and I don't have all that energy and strength that I used to have when I was a little bit younger. But I tell you, I do long for an anointing. I do long for the presence of God. and for the outpouring of the Spirit of God. I long for that. And I know that God will visit us again with His Spirit if we'll just first recognize, Lord, we're really coming up short. We're cooling off. We need something, Lord, fresh and new right now. Amen. So recall a time, maybe a season in your life when you were a lot more passionate about the things of God. You were closer to God. And how you spent your time. Has there ever been a time when you were praying more? You were more into the Word of God. You were more into a fervent work for God, doing things for God to reach out to people in their need. Has there ever been a time when your zeal for God was much, much stronger and much more fervent and much more passionate? And you may be saying, well, yeah, but I was a lot younger then. It doesn't make any difference. Don't make any difference. You can still be used of the Lord. You can still experience the anointing of the Spirit of God, even at a greater level than you ever have, if it's really something that you long for. So we have to first recognize it. We have to first reflect upon what God has done in the past and what He's done in the past. No doubt He can do it again today. Amen. And then we need to repent. We need to repent. We need to ask the Lord to forgive us. How did we let the cold winds of this world and this generation, how did we allow it to blow through our life and blow out the flame? How do we allow ourselves to get so cooled off to the things of God that now nothing moves us? We're not touched anymore. We're not stirred anymore. It's been a long time since you've been moved to tears. Whenever God was moving by His Spirit in His service. It's been a long time since you've entered in with your whole heart to worship God and to enter into the things of God. We need to repent of that we have lost. We need to repent of that we have left, walked away from, and that we've allowed ourselves to have these things stolen from us and to lose the fire and the zeal of God's presence and power in our lives. Amen. Then we need to start all over again. We need to repent. We need to start all over. Do our first works all over again. We need to refocus our attention on the Lord. Get your mind on God. Get your mind on the Lord. I'm talking about throughout the day, on your job, going through your duties. When you lay down at night, that you can spend some time just laying there in the bed, just calling on the Lord, and just drift off to sleep, just calling on God. Wake up in the morning. I don't know about you all, but I wake up really early, and it seems like the older I get, the earlier it gets. 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock, I wake up. I'm just laying there praying, Lord, please let me sleep a little more. Please help my eyes go back to sleep again. And I usually have my 5 or 6 hours and then I'm through. And I used to do better than that, but I don't anymore. But I do know that I honestly, that it's a time that I can just say, I can take that time and just call on the Lord. Lord, you know what's going on. You know what this day holds. You know, Lord, what we're in need of. Prepare me for the day. Help me, Lord, to be able to have the strength to do whatever it is you want me to do. God, you are able. Folks, we don't really know, do we? We don't know what another day is going to bring. We don't know from week to week what things that we are going to face, and we need something from God. We need something from God, and so start your day with the Lord. Refocus your attention on the Lord. Oh, there's so many distractions, so many things that distract us from our walk with the Lord. We're going to have to intentionally refocus our attention upon the things of the Lord. I've already mentioned getting back to the Word of God. But I want to make a suggestion, and that's especially for those of you that you just kind of neglected the Bible. And that is to go to a small book of the Bible. And read it all the way through. Read the book of Jude all the way through. You talk about a feeling of accomplishment. Amen. You'll read those however many verses it is and say, wow, I've read a whole book in the New Testament. And then move on to 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And read a few more small books. And then you can say, devil, see that? I've read three or four books of the New Testament here on this morning. And just refocus your attention upon the word of the Lord, and then ask God to talk to you through his word. You know what I'm talking about. Let God speak to you through the pages of his word. Get in the word, refocus your attention on the Lord. Get back in the word of God. Get back into times of prayer and into the presence of the Lord in the car, laying in the bed, wherever you might be, on the job, as you have opportunities, call upon the Lord. Find 3 minutes, find 5 minutes, even on your job or on a break. There are times throughout the day that you can get a hold of God, and you can spend time waiting upon the Lord and make God a priority in your life. Fan the flames. Amen. Fan the flames throughout the day, throughout the evening, into the night. Just keep fanning the flames of the fire of God. Another suggestion I have for you, and that is, get yourself involved in somebody else's problems and needs. Amen. One of the things that cools our spiritual life is such self-attention, such self-focus on our own lives and our own needs and problems. And there's a wonderful way to get the victory over that, and that's just step out and get involved in somebody else's need, somebody else's problem. Amen. Be a blessing to somebody else. Visit someone else. Send them a card. Pray for them. Get involved in their needs. When you find out what they're in need of, participate in it. Get involved in reaching out to someone. Take the focus off of yourself and begin to meet other people's needs. Amen. Amen. So that you can, once again, fan the fire. Fan the flames of the Spirit of God. And just wait on the Lord and rely on the Spirit of God to direct you and to use you. Amen. I wanted to encourage everyone tonight to know that the fire of God, even though it might have dwindled down to just ash, almost ashes, barely any coals, you can make a few steps toward God. You can determine, I'm not going to allow this to go out. I'm not going to allow the things that God has done in my life. I don't want this to be over. I want to press in. You can fan the flames of revival in your own heart. Stir up the embers. Stir up the fire until once again the fire is burning bright in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going through all this tonight because I'm concerned. I'm concerned. The Bible says that pastors watch over your souls because they one day will give an account. And it is an awesome responsibility to watch over the souls of people, their spiritual conditions. Now, I want to say that I'm concerned. I'm concerned because I do see a moving away in the hearts and lives of some people. Just a distraction. And I'm not pointing my fingers to say, you know, you're backslid, you're away from God, you need to get saved. I'm not suggesting that at all. But I do know that there have been times when I personally have witnessed your fervency, your fire, your commitment to God at a much greater level than I see it right now. Amen. I don't know what's going on in your life, but I just pray that the Lord would help us tonight to fan the flames. Me personally, all of us here tonight, I don't want to see this cooling off taking place. I want to see us renew our commitment to the Lord. Renew our commitment to the things of God. Let's pray together tonight. Father, there is a great need in these last days. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would somehow awaken us all to our need, every one of us. Help us to see ourselves like you see us. Help us, Lord, to see ourselves, Lord, in light of the things that you have done in our lives in the past, wonderful things that you have done. And Lord, to long for that, to long for the touch of God, to long for the anointing and the fire of the Spirit of God to burn fervently once again in our lives. Lord, collectively as a body, as a church, the responsibilities to our community are great and to the lost are great. But Lord, I know we can't get the job done unless we are truly on fire, unless we are truly a church body that's working in unity of the Spirit, Lord, to see this community reach for the kingdom of God. Lord, fan the flames. I ask you to fan the flames tonight, Lord. I ask you to stir up the embers. I ask you, Lord, to help us, Lord, to see where we are and to see our need and to press in, oh God, to the things that you have available for your people. Do the work, Lord. Do a work among us tonight, I pray. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.